And now we are officially live on our very first podcast on the Disney Discord podcast. We have no name for our podcast yet. However, this is episode one and I'm joined by Bernardo. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
No, well, I guess you invited me earlier on today.
Yeah.
So I guess we're making it up as we go along. This is the first time we've ever done this. We have absolutely no script. There is absolutely no show notes. There is absolutely nothing guiding this. We have no idea if it's going to be short or long. We've never recorded this before, so you might get to read this. You might not get to hear this. Who knows? Who knows where this is going? It is live in the sense that if you want to jump in and you want to join in, you can wave your hand or something at the bottom of the Discord and we can bring you into the podcast.
Yeah, just make sure to open the little chat we have and just type in your message. I think everyone can do it. So we'll see and try to invite you to speak. I think that will do it.
So welcome everybody. I guess topic one has to be the big elephant in the room, and that is the Walt Disney Studios 2.0 expansion that's ongoing.
Sounds like a perfect topic to begin with, yeah.
A perfect topic to start with. So we've seen there's been a lot of development in the Walt Disney Studios. The lake basin now looks maybe not complete, but certainly it looks, you know, the concrete's there, so it could hold water. It looks the part, it's quite big. If I was guessing, it looks kind of the same size as Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's lake, I don't know. What do you think from the pictures?
I think they look awesome. I think we definitely have a very bright future for Walt Disney Studios, which is saying something already, because that park is not good. So, just, I'm happy with the bright future, to be honest.
Now, we've been seeing there's some scaffolding in the middle. In fact, it's not in the middle, it's kind of at the start of the lake. It's closer to the front than anything else. Yeah. We've seen some of that, and given that the floor is finished, we've been speculating on what that scaffolding will be for, or what that sort of foundational iron is for. What do you think it's for?
Actually not sure. It looks like some sort of foundation for fountains. But in the first concept art we got with the lake and everything and Star Wars, which is obviously outdated by now, but in that first concept art, we do see some fountains in the middle. So that could be it, I guess. But that does sound a little bit too blue sky. The concept does look a little bit too blue sky. So I don't know.
It does what seem do like we're... Well, at first, I didn't think, you know, I thought, are we get... We've got World of Color, we've got Fantasmic, we've got the Epcot Harmonious Reflections of Earth and Epcot Forever. And those are the lake shows that kind of spring to mind, mostly because Tokyo has often done its own thing anyway. It's never really been... Tokyo kind of decide what they want to do and then Imagineering kind of put a spin on it, whereas...
Yeah, exactly. But remember, there have been rumors for a long time that Disneyland Paris did buy the barges from the Fantasmic in Tokyo, and that's still getting traction today. So I think that we might get those barges, but then how would that work with fountains?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I mean, we can certainly see that Disney has tried to put fountains in every lake they've built since, you know, 2012 or something. Every time they've done an update on a lake, usually there's a set of fountains get put in it. So I don't think it's beyond the realm of imagination that we're definitely going to get some sort of fountain, because the lake otherwise is going to be a little bit boring during the day. So
exactly.
I think that's probably something they've not announced fully, other than in the artwork. However, what sort of fountains we're getting, or what sort of show, or what sort of way that's going to work, I have no idea. It's terribly exciting. We've also had rumour, and it's certainly in the concept art as well, it's in the top right-hand corner of the concept art, it looks like a Walt Disney Studios parade. It certainly seems like there's a parade going into that park as well, and that would make a lot of sense, given how open the lake is.
The old one?
Yeah. I can hear you clicking away in the background to go and get it. But I'm pretty sure it's the top right. It's in. It looks like the
It does.
It looks like the train. It looks like the Casey Jr. train. If I'm totally honest, it doesn't look like parade floats. It looks more like the train.
On the other side, we do have a boat right in the middle of the lake, which is not going to happen. It looks like a little shuttle boat. That is not going to happen. So, I don't know. This concept seems a lot of blue sky. We see the promenade is going to be completely different. We don't have the restaurant. We don't have the other snack location. We're not going to have the Star Wars land. So, I don't know if we can trust this concept art anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, the concept art seems to have expired. It's definitely been replaced by new thinking.
Avengers Campus, it's completely different from what it seems here. So, I don't know. But I think that they should definitely do some fountain shows during the day. Because, as you said, it would be very boring, just a piece of water in the middle of the biggest expansion to a Disney park or whatever. So that would just be a little, I don't know, boring, as you said it.
It does seem like that'd be an awful lot of work for, you know, why have a lake if you're going to do nothing with it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, if we think about that, there's you know, it definitely shows, in fact, the concept art, I've pulled it up just now, the concept art shows multiple sets of water fountains. So,
that's true. One of them seems to be right where the new iron works are happening, right? Yeah. The front one.
Yeah. So the front one seems to be, the front one definitely seems to be there. And then you've obviously got the little one on the right and then one on the left. So yeah, it looks like that makes a lot of sense. So I think that's possibly what they're working on just now. Now, if we look,
see that happening for sure.
DLP Works has obviously been sharing some pictures of the ongoing works, and we can see that Frozen has now officially gone vertical, and there's quite, you know, the walls of the main attraction are now getting put in place. So, you know, in theory, that stuff's coming together quite quickly, and kind of confirms the lack of development anywhere else around the lake is that the Star Wars land is definitely not coming. Because nothing there. Nothing's happening. Also,
since the beginning, we knew that the Star Wars land would take a couple more years than the Frozen and Lake. So it could still happen, theoretically. It's not happening. It could, though. But it's not.
If you look at the concept art. When you're looking at the concept art, the Star Wars land is the least integrated in the concept art. It's kind of... You know, the Avengers campus is drawn in and has quite a lot of detail. The Frozen land is integrated into the lake, and you can definitely see like the service way and the service waterways. Mm-hmm. You can see the rotating bridge. You can see all those sort of things.
It was a last time edition, yeah?
Yeah, it looks like Star Wars land was a bit like, it's going to look really bare if we do nothing, put in a placeholder. What have we just built? Oh, well, we've just built Galaxy's Edge. Put that in. It definitely looks a little bit like that. So there was some discussion earlier on the Discord this week, and I think the discussion was around, you know, was it getting replaced by Pandora? Was it getting replaced by the Lion King? Was it getting replaced by any of these things? So let's talk about the Star Wars pad. We'll call it the Star Wars pad, even though obviously Star Wars isn't going ahead. What one is supposed to be replacing that? Is this the Lion King that's supposed to go in the Star Wars pad?
Well, from the rumors we've heard, it sure seems like it. It's been released by the guy behind Outside Ears, which is a huge website that leaks a lot of this information and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's very possibly that. So a Lion King themed land with a water ride, which would be quite spectacular in the resort, since we don't have like one that really makes you wet during the summer. So that could be quite a nice addition.
Well, definitely. It'd be it's not the first water ride, because obviously Disneyland Paris does have water rides, but they don't have any external water rides.
But they don't make you wet. Like Pirates of the Caribbean, you get some splashes, but that's it.
Yeah.
So this, you know, during the summer, when there's like 36, 37 tops, the degrees in Paris, it's unbearable to be in the resort. And that's when the most when that that's when there are most people inside the park. So it would make sense to have a ride like that, in my mind at least.
So that's the one that we think we're getting on the left-hand side, where Star Wars was. Effectively, I don't want to call it a Splash Mountain re-theme, but a Splash Mountain re-theme.
It sure seems like it.
It makes it, I mean,
Which
there's
I'd be
they're
completely happy
probably.
with Splash Mountain, to be honest. I love
Oh,
Splash Mountain.
so would I. But, I mean, it was built, I mean, Splash Mountain was, you know, a mega old attraction. So, unlikely Disney are getting any real discount from building a clone of Splash Mountain. You know, that's not, there's not going to be that much they're
Yeah,
going to save money wise there.
another possibility that I just thought about yesterday or a couple of days ago was that you remember how in D23 they announced a new Moana ride for Animal Kingdom?
Yeah.
It should be like a Splash Mountain type of log flume. So
Yeah.
could we be getting that, like a clone of that ride with a completely different reskin, with a completely different theme? Because that would save on development costs, on Imagineering, etc. It could split between the two resorts. I think that could make some sense, to be
Oh,
honest.
that could make some sense. See, I don't understand the logic of bringing in Lion King. That's the one I struggle with this. Isn't the fact that I have anything against the Lion King, I'd love a Lion King land, but I don't see that as an entry IP that Disney are currently pushing, whereas Moana seems a lot more kind of up to date with Disney's current
That's
exploits.
completely true. Yeah.
But,
And
I mean, who knows? Who knows? I mean, The Lion King is loved by parents and children, and, you know, there's a lot of
the
history to The
last
Lion King.
the remake got like $2 billion on the box office, so
Yeah,
it's
it's
very
still.
famous IP for sure. And they're getting a prequel, I think. I think so. Not sure
This.
about that.
It somewhat bugs me because Disneyland Paris has been, unlike kind of Disneyland and Walt Disney World, they've always been quite good at keeping the IPs together. So I think on a some benign level, I would probably be quite annoyed if we had a Lion King land in Walt Disney Studios. And then you've got the Lion King show across in Disneyland Park. Like,
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
it just, you know,
it's
because
quite odd.
you can see the guest flow issues. Like, oh, so we don't see the Lion King show in the Lion King world. Like, we've to go all the way to the other park to
Yeah,
find the Lion King.
that's
Like.
true. Though you do have some similar situations. Buzz Lightyear is in Discovery Land, and there's Toy Story Land in Studios. So it like
It's true.
it. Yeah, you do have that. Well, something
It's not a
similar happened.
never. I know, but you can affect these things to not make it as bad. You
Exactly, yeah,
could
for sure.
you like there's not much hang on, I'm bringing up a map now, but there's not much happening up next to the Chaparral Theatre anyway. Like, there's absolutely room up there that if you wanted to build a
They
Lion
have
King land.
way too much room around Disneyland Park. You can
Yeah.
build so many attractions everywhere.
Yeah.
Fantasyland, Discoveryland, Adventure, and Frontierland have just so much space. And yeah, around the rhythms of the Pride Lands
Yeah,
theater, they
I'm looking
have
at it
all
now,
this
and
capacity.
they have at least two, if not three, easily accessible, maybe four expansion pads that they could use right there. But they
I
won't.
mean,
They
Smash
won't.
Mountain was supposed to go there some
Yeah.
20 years ago. So yeah,
Yeah.
there's
Oh
that really bugs me because we haven't seen a new ride in, just changing the topic for a bit, we haven't seen a
well.
new ride in Disneyland Park for what's been now like 25 years, 23 years
Yeah.
since Space Mountain, basically, which opened in 1995. So you need to add new attractions. Even if the park is amazing, because it is, it's a great park.
Yeah.
But still, you cannot just focus on studios and leave Disneyland to just stay like it is for 25 years. It doesn't make
I think
sense.
that's what I think that's what they're doing, though, isn't it? They're absolutely just going to let it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're doing this.
They're
That
like,
bugs me. Because again, you have so much space. Just they could add Indiana Jones, Splash Mountain, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There's just so much they could do, but they don't. So,
they
well.
would do it. We shouldn't waste time on what we're not getting. So we're getting Frozen. I'm not particularly excited about the Frozen Ever After ride. I'm sure it'll be very, very popular. It is very, very popular in Epcot, and it certainly, it ticks a box for the whole Frozen IP that I think the Disney company Frozen's one of their like lead merchandising opportunities for kids. And it's one of their lead sort of attractions. I'm personally not that excited about a Frozen attraction. It's kind of, I like new attractions, don't get me wrong. It isn't one that excites me. What about you? Is it one that excites you?
I've ridden Frozen Ever After in Epcot, and it's a cute ride, but that's basically it. It's a
You
cute
do it
ride. It's not
once.
the e-ticket everyone's waiting for. It's just not. Sure, they'll make it a little bit bigger with bigger boats. You'll have more capacity, but it's not a Pirates of the Caribbean, for example.
No, it's
It
not.
really isn't. So, for it to be the centerpiece of a $2 billion expansion to a theme park, it just feels lackluster.
It's just come up in the chat. So we've got Chesney asking, do you guys think Frozen was the best decision for a new land in WDS, or should there have been another choice of theme like Encanto? And I think that's, I mean, I think Disney have to do a Frozen land. I think that, Frozen makes a lot of money. There's a lot of merchandise. There's a lot of
Yeah,
people
Frozen
that,
is
go wild for it. Disney has been
huge.
accused in the past. Although, when I say this, I personally don't believe this point, but Disney in the past has been accused of always kind of catering to little boys more than to little girls in the theme parks. And Frozen is considered to be demographically a better fit for girls. However, I don't think that's true because I've met thousands of little boys that absolutely love the stories that Anna, Elsa, and Olaf. So I don't think that's terribly true. But I don't know. I think they had to do it. They have to do a meet and greet, don't they? They really have to have an Anna, Elsa, and they have to have an Olaf meet and greet. And I think people go wild for that. So,
I do think
people.
that the Frozen Land itself, it looks quite amazing. And it will be fun to have like the mountains and everything as a centerpiece for that new part of the extension. Though, do I think it's the best IP they've could have chosen for it for the centerpiece of the new park? No, I don't think so.
It's probably because we're not the target market, I guess.
For sure. Yeah.
We are not the people that they're expecting to enjoy this land. Like, we'll enjoy it from a Disney Parks level, and I think we're going to enjoy it from a sort of, it's new, it's going to look snazzy,
Yeah, no,
it's a,
theming-wise, from
yeah.
Hong Kong, from what we've seen, it looks amazing. Again, it's going to be a really good space to be in. But the ride itself, again, I just keep hitting the same note. The ride itself is not as good as people are expecting, and that could become somewhat of a problem in the when it opens, at least.
I think I'm looking at some of the concept art as well. So if nobody's looked at this, I encourage you to go and see the Frozen Land concept art for nighttime in Hong Kong. Because if you're not kind of into the daytime, if you're kind of like, oh yeah, they've got a, the, you know, there's theirs during the daytime. If you look at the nighttime, it's got cool sort of like neon castles, neon sort of snow on the mountain, a sort of like a blue tinge to it, and then it's got some, cool lighting effects. So I think actually Disneyland Paris does need more fun things in the night to do because I think Walt Disney Studios is all there's. It's going to be nice to have somewhere to go at night, atmospheric, a little bit of a stroll. Avengers Campus is very good at night, but certainly the rest of the park's a bit lackluster at night.
Yeah, for sure. I love walking in Disney parks during the night and Walt Disney Studios. Well, first of all, normally it's not open until very late, so I can't do that. But when it is, it's just nice to walk on. Avengers Campus, as you said, is amazing during the nighttime with the Friday facade. Everything is, it's quite good. But the rest of the park isn't as good. So it will be very nice for sure to be able to just enjoy an evening stroll around
Yeah.
Frozen.
You've also got, I imagine that, Avengers Campus just now doing a lot of the heavy lifting in that park for live character events. So you've got you've got the Wakanda sequence, you've got the Hero sequence, you've got the Spider-Man sequence, you've got the Thor sequence. You have all these sequences that are coming, and
That's
currently you've
pretty
got the
much
Hulk.
all the characters in the park. You don't have
Yeah.
like many more characters. I don't think you have. We have like Lightning McQueen in the middle of the
Yeah,
day,
which is quite
that's
good.
it. What?
I like the little Lightning McQueen
Well,
show,
I
but
like him, but come on.
yeah, that's all we've currently got. So it'll be nice to have a little bit of something else somewhere else, because I think a lot of people sort of hang around Avengers Campus just waiting for the Avengers stuff to happen. And I think having something in Frozen, we've got a comment here from Claro. I feel they could have did some Fantasy Forest Land, not just Frozen Ever After, and they could throw one or two flat rides complement it. That's a really good point, because this is something Disney has kind of started doing, and Bob Iger made comments to this. Chapek also made comments to this on one of the investor calls, that effectively Disney no longer builds non-IP lands. Like, they admit this. They're only going to do IP mini lands now, rather than the sort of expansive, your fantasy land, your discovery land, your frontier land. And that's a big change for Disney in some ways.
Yeah, for sure. I think this all started with, correct me if I'm wrong, with the opening of Islands of Adventure. Like you, maybe not the opening, but with the expansion of Harry Potter.
Yeah, so the Harry
Because
Potter one.
that
Yeah.
changed the game, like completely. And Disney tried to pick up and build Pandora, which was very successful. Everyone loved it. So they just kept on doing it. Star Wars Land wasn't as huge as they had hoped, and that was a big problem at the time.
Yeah,
But
Cars Land.
Cars Land is perfect. It just works. So I don't know it. I don't know why. Why do you think Galaxy's Edge doesn't work while Cars does? That's it.
I don't think Galaxy's Edge doesn't work. I think Galaxy's Edge does work. But what I think Disney does, and almost they need to reflect on this, is, look at the Phantom Manor, for example. Phantom Manor doesn't promise anything. It just promises a good story. And in that, you go through the scenes and you go through the ride. The ride's not, Phantom Manor's considered an e-ticket ride, but if they built Phantom Manor today as an e-ticket, people would kind of be like, is this all we get? People want to be flung faster and higher and faster and whatnot. And that's just changing taste in theme parks. However, Disney like to try and promise a lot, and they keep throwing these massive budgets. Now, I'm going to Google it, because I don't want to get it wrong, because somebody will like call us out in the notes. But Galaxy's Edge was very, very expensive. Like, Galaxy's Edge was a
And
proper, several billion cost.
was it, I think it was 1 billion? Could be wrong.
Yeah. So so Anaheim alone, so this is just the one on the California, was 1 billion. Now, people think, oh, it's only 1 billion, Disney makes lots of billions. That's true, but 1 billion is a lot of money. Like, when you consider that, Disneyland Paris was built for only a few billion more, including the hotels, roadways, lakes, everything like that. It's a lot of money. And
Oh yeah,
again,
I
Disney.
was quite it was quite strange seeing the budget for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind in Epcot. Do you know how much it cost? It
Was it
was like
250
five
million?
hundred it was like $500 million.
No way.
The budget was much lower, but the cost just kept on rising. And it I yeah. I could not believe it. Just but way this... too much. $500 million for a roller coaster? And they had already half of the building already built, which was the Universe of Energy.
But yeah. Then you've got, for example, one of the greatest roller coasters on Earth at this moment in time, Velocicoaster. In Velocicoaster, the roller coaster alone, so just the track and kind of the cars, was about $40 million. And the actual entire cost was about $80 million. So,
you see, Disney builds a roller coaster for $500 million and Universal does it for $80. And they're both immensely successful.
Yes. So,
I'd say the coaster is more successful. It's more the name. Just, I think there's more people that know Velocicoaster than Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah. The other thing is Galaxy, I mean, I've been on Cosmic Rewind and it's a great ride. I don't know if you've been on it, but it is a fantastic ride.
It's really fun.
I really enjoyed it. However, Disneyland Paris already has a mini version of that. I mean, the whole spinning and fast parts of the track and stuff, it already has that in Crush's Coaster. Like, when I was on Cosmic Rewind, I genuinely thought this is going to be an experience I've never had before. And I thought, this is kind of a bigger version and a slightly faster version of Crush's Coaster. But it is just Crush. You are just rotating and falling and going up and, you know, it's a different theme. But
kind of. But yeah, in Crush, you just go around and down and up in complete darkness.
So it's a more basic version. But
yeah, for sure.
But I thought people love Crush. Like people love Crush's Coaster, and it's a fantastic roller coaster as well. So
you just have wait times.
I was left thinking with Galaxy's Cosmic Rewind. Sorry, I was left thinking with it that yes, it's an amazing coaster, but it's not. You know, some of the things that they've done on it are not that earth-shattering that they couldn't have done a slightly more basic and cheaper version of. Like, Disney are good in the sense that they build with a lot of quality and they build a lot of technology in there, but sometimes they forget that that'll degrade over the years, and they're terrible at keeping it maintained. Like,
there was a big JPEG problem. He went with the projects, they had the biggest budgets possible, and then at the last time, he would try to cut cut costs.
Yeah. And that,
you know, you have Imagineers were all hyped up doing something that they think is incredible, and then the boss comes up and he just says, "Well, you got to make it for half the money you were hoping for."
Yeah. You know, it's
not a good working environment at least.
Yeah, it seems to be come up with 10 good ideas, which is fine. But the problem they've got is they sometimes announce those 10 ideas and then cut the 5 best ones and leave you with the 5 that necessarily aren't as good as the first set. And you're just left kind of like, all right, okay. I don't think the Disney Parks fans. So if we roll it back a bit, the Disney Parks fans are not asking for the most expensive rides, the most expensive roller coasters. The Disney Parks fans are a lot more forgiving than I think Disney sometimes realizes. Like, we don't want a poor quality attraction, there are certain practicalities that Disney Parks fans do genuinely understand. And it's a case of, sometimes I think Disney spends a lot of money on things that I'm a bit like, we were okay with the other version. Why are you spending that money on this? Or, you know, rethemes Hyperspace Mountain, for example, the amount of rethemes we've done on that, but everybody kind of liked the original, and I'm left, oh, we've spent more money, but we've delivered something that nobody else really wanted. Disney Dreams, another example. We invested $100 million in that show, created one of the most spectacular shows on the Disney sort of shows calendar. And then rather than doing what they originally promised to do, which was update some scenes, and you'd go have like Dreams version 1, Dreams version 2, Dreams version 3, Shanghai got a show called Illuminations, and it was like they just couldn't resist but copy it into Disneyland Paris. Now, they deny this, but the show's almost identical.
Oh yeah, it's the same show. It's the same scenes, the same music. I'm pretty sure they only changed the name. In Shanghai, I think it's called something like Ignite the Dream, which also ties in with the music, if you notice. But so yeah, they completely copied the entire show and
And
just
spent all that money on when they already had a better show. It
yeah,
just makes no
for
sense. It makes no sense. It sometimes they do things that make absolute no sense, and then they
Yeah.
bewilder me with that. So I think that we could probably, I think if you asked any Disney Parks fan, do you want one ride in 30 years, or do you want, one more regularly, but would be willing to accept that isn't a 500 million pound investment? Instead, it was, closer to the 80 or 100 million that Universal are spending on Velocicoaster and rides like that. I think that people would be very receptive to that sort of ride.
Yeah, Universal and Disney have two completely different fan bases. I think so at least, because Universal, you were saying a couple of minutes ago that the fans are a lot more understanding. I don't really agree with that. Well, maybe
Oh.
the fans themselves are, but like the big names, we'll call them that, they're really not. They see like a trash can, in a different place, and they'll be all, especially in Disney World. Disneyland Paris is it's different, but in Disney World, the big websites, they all, well, this is their life.
That is
I
true.
agree with
That
that.
is true. A lot of them, you're right in the sense that a lot of them get very.
They're not quite as forgiving as Disney would like. I think so, at least. But
Then you
yeah.
get away. But the odd thing is, though, that they have so many. I mean, if you go to California, where it's probably worst, have you ever read micechat.com? Like, some of the comments on
Yeah.
micechat.com can be absolutely sensational to read through. Like it really is an episode of kind of first world problems. There was a discussion a couple of weeks, maybe it was longer than that now, a couple of months ago, and it was about the thematic correctness of the popcorn they were selling in certain areas. And I
Oh,
struggled
wow.
to, I struggled to like. Just because they've sold toffee popcorn in one place for 10 years and now they sell it somewhere else, like that is not a reason to be upset. But they were. This isn't the by the way, just to clarify, this is not the people who edit the site or anything. This was just someone going off on one. Whereas, yeah, we don't have that in Disneyland Paris because, God, if the snack carts were even open, that's a surprise. But you've got the sort of thing where they've kind of made a rod for their own back, where Disney are scared to touch anything because people will be upset and the reimagination of it will not be up to the standard. But secondly, Disneyland California is full of utter crap. Like,
Never been,
I
honestly, so
visit.
I cannot reply to that comment.
Well, it's
I've
got
never
so many.
visited.
Th Well. I hope you do one day, just so you can appreciate this, sir. Like, everybody built up that Mr. Toad's Wild Ride's exactly as Walt imagined it, as the most amazing ride on the planet, and how could anybody hate? Add on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride must be up there with possibly the worst Disney attraction ever built. It is a product of its time. It was built, the 50s, 60s. It's
Yeah.
built with things that are falling apart. It's covered in cobwebs. It's taped
Wow.
together. It's got poor paint. It's probably painted lead. The track's dreadful. The cart's uncomfy. Other than it being kind of like, oh, Walt imagined this, the ride is dreadful. And
Wow.
I waited about an hour to get on it. And I've got to tell you that I came off that and I thought, the people that are going on about this being amazing and true to Disney and blah blah blah, I thought, God, this is not. This is not real. I mean, Walt himself would have been like, things have updated. We need to build better attractions. We need to have cooler stuff. Like, people, what? As much as people are there to hang out with their kids and, the dad with his daughters and stuff, the original Walt story, he was a realist in the sense that Walt also wanted to build new things. He was completely okay with scrapping and starting again with things. So, there's a lot of
Well, he
rubbish
did.
across there.
He did that several times with Tomorrowland, for example. It was like
Yeah.
completely destroyed, and updated in 70, no, 70, no. 40s, 50s. I'm not sure,
Well, I
but
mean,
it, yeah, they did do that.
Compare it to
Tomorrowland
Aladdin
is.
Spinner. I mean, we would get rid of the Aladdin Spinner in WDS. Like, nobody would fight to keep that.
Yeah, and that's an opening day attraction.
Yeah, I mean,
One of the
I'm ca
three.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine anybody in Paris mounting us? Like, let's go and defend the Aladdin spinning ride. Let's go and save the genie. I just can't imagine it. If watch this, there will be somebody. We're probably going to get attacked. I'm sorry that I dragged you into my negative opinions on this sort of stuff, but.
I agree, to be honest. The only way I would find to protect that ride would be to say that it adds capacity. That's the only
Yeah.
thing I can think of. It's not a good ride, it's just not.
I wouldn't get rid of it unless we were going to put something, I don't know. Some people go on it. It'll probably end up. Does it have Premier Access? It's probably going to get Premier Access.
Oh well.
Maybe we should take a moment to talk about that. Premier Access, which is the Disneyland Paris differing version of Lightning Lane and. I suppose to a degree, Genie Plus, depending on if you buy Premier Access for the day or for
Yeah.
one ride. Why does it not cause the problems in Paris that it does cause in Walt Disney World? And.
Well, I think it's just way too expensive. You know, in Disney World, you've got Genie Plus for the whole day for like when I was there, it was $15. Now I think it's more. It depends on the day, but
Yeah.
like $15 for a whole day, and you can choose if you know how to work that, you can choose up to like six or seven attractions. If you choose some little ones, that's not bad. I mean, a Premier Access for Space Mountain or for Big Thunder costs like 15 euros, I think. It's like the same thing.
Is that not good though? I mean, in the sense that when I'm in Paris, I never actually think, the
Oh
people who
no,
have bought
I'm not
Premier
complaining. I'm not
Access.
complaining. It's not a product for me. It's a product for
Yeah.
those people that just go one day, like once every 3 years. They save their money. They go. They just want to spend a good time, and they buy the Premier Access because they're not
Yeah.
gonna have the same opportunity for the next 3 years. So
Yeah,
it's not a product for me.
I don't see it as a problem because I've never personally felt that it's going that much slower. Whereas in Walt Disney World, you can physically see that Lightning
Oh
Lane and
yeah,
Genie Plus are slowing you down.
completely. And Disneyland as well. I've seen some reports from Cars Land where the Genie Plus line it's completely out of the queue, and it's just slowing everything down because of
I think.
downtime, of course.
The thing is, they're never going to get rid of it now because they're making too much money on it. Too many people are buying into it that Disney just will not get rid of it. I personally think they should make it much more expensive, like Universal's Express Pass.
It's a different system because with Universal, you just show up to the queue and that's it.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
of course, it costs a lot more as well. It's like $170,
Yeah.
$170, I think.
But it.
But
I feel as though they probably make the same money, but it probably causes less inconvenience because a lot less people have it. I don't know. That's
yeah,
me guessing.
I mean, in Universal, if you stay in one of the higher end resorts, the resort hotels, you do get that. We got that like when we went last year, they offered that, which is a steal, honestly.
Yeah. So
So you do have.
was that included with like the room price?
Yeah, it was. We
See,
got
that's
the
almost.
tickets, we got the room price, the room, and they just literally gave us the passes for every day we went to the parks. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that is a good deal because you effectively. You're being valued as a guest to the hotel and staying on site and such. Whereas I
It
don't
was
think.
really nice. We did everything we wanted in just 2 days, and it was because of that pass. It allowed us. I think the only attraction, like big ride, we couldn't get into with that was Velocicoaster. It had just like opened 1 year before.
Oh, and it wasn't included.
No, it's not. I think it is now, maybe, not sure. But it wasn't when we went.
Okay. So Chesney's put he misses Fast Pass. I think everybody kind of misses Fast Pass, but at the same time, I don't know if I do miss Fast Pass because I think that the actual overall wait times at Disneyland Paris are now a lot lower because we don't have Fast Pass. I don't know if that's something that you notice, that overall actually is usually a bit quicker.
Yeah, there's no question asked. It's a completely different system. I saw a video, I'm not sure if you saw, by the Funkland. It's like a 2-hour video on Fast Passes. It's an amazing video if you haven't watched.
I'll need to watch it. I like the Defunctland stuff.
Right. It's amazing, really. It even has a twist on in the end. You get like,
oh really?
Wow. Yeah, no, it's a great storytelling, as Disney would put it. So yeah, I do miss Fast Passes because they were free. So that's a good starting point. But at the same time, I don't. I think you can agree on that.
Yeah. I think I miss the concept Fast Pass versus kind of Genie Plus. But to be honest, I don't miss the queue. So I mean, Big Thunder Mountain was regularly over 2 hours. It's quite rare now, other than in peak time, to see Big Thunder Mountain over 2 hours. Big Thunder Mountain is usually, you know, 45 minutes to 75 minutes now, which is, you know, a lot less than two plus hours in queue. So we've done Premier Access, we've done WDS, and then the other kind of news that we're all talking about, and I put this down to just none of us are great fans of the Frozen Land, is that we're all discussing that Star Wars would be better in Discovery Land, and that we've kind of, you know, we've talked about Galaxy's Edge, but not Galaxy's Edge, being built where the old Pizza Planet and the sort of back end of Discovery Land is. So you would almost, the Star Tours, Discovery Land Theater, go under a little bridge or something into the Star Wars Land.
Yeah. So the rumors kind of started when, again, Ali, the guy behind the Outside Ears website, he reported that there were some rumors or some... A new project may be happening, that a new, like, mini-land would be built behind Space Mountain. So it would kind of connect Star Tours and this new land. And the main attraction... Well, it's not like a real land like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge itself. I think it would be more something like a coaster, like an attraction.
Yeah.
It would be in its own little area, but it's not a land. So I would be completely fine with that. I actually would love that. Something about a Tron, like a Tron reskin. That would be really cool because Tron, you sit in this like bike type of vehicle. Mm-hmm. So if you could somehow, I don't know, retheme that to a speeder bike from Star Wars, or maybe even a Mandalorian theme. I think that could work very, very well. Mandalorian is huge. They just proved that with the walk around character like 3 weeks ago. There was literally hours just to meet him. So that is a huge character that I think they don't use in the parks, and they definitely should.
I think maybe that's what they're waiting on. Baby Yoda or Grogu was the number one selling.
Gosh.
At one point, it was the number one selling plush and nonsense that Disney ever created. I mean, it's got two like home robot things you can buy. It's got, you know, spin-offs and, you know, Red Bubble had it within about a day. Yeah, it literally was one of the biggest IP, non-IP things that I think they didn't even realize they had. And that little creature himself could probably inspire a whole land. Like, you've got to remember, Disney don't look at this like, oh, hey, let's build a roller coaster or let's build a ride and that's it. They look at it on what can we sell? What drinks can we sell? What biscuits can we push? What, you know, there's a lot more into it than just we've got yeah, one ride sure, yeah. that'll do. So when you look at the whole thing, yeah, I'm convinced that this, you know, they're looking at this and they're thinking, well, you know, if you could be on a ride or you could be in a land or something, and it's got Grogu and it's got Baby Yoda and it's got the whole Mandalorian thing, and that's kind of big just now. You know, I think they could sell a lot. I'm really surprised there's not a build a lightsaber thing at Disneyland Paris just now. I genuinely thought that would be a no-brainer just to convert some sort of.
You do have in the Star Traders, I think you have like those.
We do, but there's no cast member. They're plastic. They're cheap parts. They're not like I'm so convinced they could just make money building a shed that you could build lightsabers in. But they've got as well. See if you go into the Discoveryland Theater. See if you not the Discoveryland Theater. Sorry, if you go into the Cathay Hyperion. And then down at the bottom, they've got the Arcade Alpha and Arcade Beta.
Yeah.
Those two rooms there would be great for like lightsaber building or something. Like, they're already themed halfway there. They're already in the right land. They're already, you know, they're inside. They already own them. And
yeah, they could definitely do that. I personally would not be a fan of that. I don't think Star Wars like belongs in Discoveryland. I know it always has.
It's a bit late now.
it's completely a Star Wars land by now. But there was always Star Tours. But again, it was all the way pushed to the back. So again, it was like its own mini land over there.
Yeah.
So just putting more Star Wars in Discoveryland just doesn't sit right with me. Look, I don't like Hyperspace Mountain. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'll just say that because I love everything. I've watched every show, every movie, every animated show, and I can't find myself to like that re-theme. It's not good. Because I think Hong Kong, they have a Hyperspace Mountain, like not temporary, completely always Hyperspace Mountain. And it's quite good. Like they have a lot of effects. A lot of the music is nice. You don't have like two French dudes screaming in your ears. Something I can't understand. so it's way better from what I've heard.
Yeah.
So if you're doing like an overlay, just make it good.
Rotate it back to what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Just bring back the moon.
I think they will. I mean, if they are going to build a Star Wars coaster, let's assume they're going to do that. They're not going to have two side by side.
Surely. Yeah. That was another thing. that he said. That Space Mountain should return to its original theme, featuring a new storyline with Jules Verne. And SEA. And I love SEA.
Does anybody know? So here's a question. Does anybody know why in the first place they pulled it? Like, why did we get version 2? Like, what's the reason behind this? You've probably done some research on it.
Yeah, from what I've learned, it was mostly marketing. They, you know, the Space Mountain, you know, basically saved Euro Disney, as some people put it. It was such a marketing stunt. It was, you know, you had in every country around Disney, around Paris, around France, you had some kind of, ads for that poster. So it was such a huge thing that at the end of that year, they actually made some money for the first time. So when they weren't making any money, they just turned to, you know, Imagineering and said, well, we've got to rely on Space Mountain once again. So just do your thing and we'll market it as a brand new coaster coming to Disneyland Paris.
Make it sexy again.
Yeah, basically. And so they just, it was quite sad.
And that's how we got. That's how we got it twice. Okay. No. So
three times now. It's
no, three yeah, times because now. We got hyperspace, didn't we?
Exactly. How fair happy.
Yeah, I think that would probably have to go back to the original. It would have to be. They're surely not going to build two Star Wars coasters side by side. It's Disneyland Paris, though. You can trust that. I think they've got merchandise opportunities. Lightsabers. They've got Grogu. They've got cool ideas that they could certainly do.
Talking about merchandise, if they brought back the original Space Mountain, they would like sell so much merchandise if they made everything like nice. How are they making like a lot more money from Hyperspace Mountain? Like they don't have a shop at the end.
No, it's they
like
don't.
Just that little photo thingy where you can get your photos. So I don't think you're making that much money from Hyperspace Mountain. So just change it back. It's time, come on.
Give us it back. The other one that we had a rumor, but it seems to have gone quiet and completely died, and I think some people have said it isn't happening, is that we were talking about Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yeah.
And that was for an expansion pad that I don't actually think is there anymore. I mean, everybody seems convinced it's going. There's an expansion pad in theory
behind the Mickey Theater where you meet Mickey. Is it there?
No. It was as far as I understood it. It was to the right hand side of Small World. Do you know where the parade exit is?
Yeah, really, but, over there.
Yeah, but I don't think it could go there now because there isn't really an expansion pad there. They've built support infrastructure there for the parade and for the cast and stuff. So I don't even think that's an expansion. I mean, there's nothing that would stop Disney ever creating it back into an expansion pad, but it's littered with that much rubbish now that I personally don't think it.
I've never seen that space. I did see, I don't think it was rumors, I think it was just more wishful thinking. Behind the train station, Fantasyland train station. You've got like a whole area right there. But even there, I don't think it will fit. I don't think
there's
enough.
It's not the right sort of dimension, is it?
Yeah.
So,
I don't think so. I really like that attraction, by the way. You wrote it last time you went.
Yeah. I really like Runaway Railway. I think Runaway Railway, given that it's very easy to update. And for Disney, I think it was one of their cheaper attractions. Now you've got me interested. But I think Runaway Railway, and I'm going to Google this just to double check. It was one of the cheaper attractions. Like, I don't think it cost terribly much for Disney to make.
Everything was already there. They had all the infrastructure, right? They just took everything out from the Great Movie Ride and just put some projections. And that's basically it. And they made a great ride with just that. Again, no, they didn't need $500 million to do it.
I'm googling the ride cost because I don't. If I remember rightly, it was shockingly cheap. Like it was like
no idea.
They just didn't. It's funny because now I can't find it. Obviously, I can't find it that we need it. Obviously, I can't find it now that I'm looking for it. But it was one of those really cheap. Attractions that
I,
you know,
didn't know that.
Yeah. It was a good. Somebody will correct me, I'm sure, but it was in the like 50 million range. Like it was.
Wow.
Yeah, for how good it is, it was dirt cheap.
I mean, if they were to build from the ground up, it would be a lot more. But even so, for the amount of work needed as a retheme, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, what do they need? A warehouse building? They need to build a small warehouse. They need to put a queue line into it. And then, I mean, there is, for those who haven't rode it, there is kind of architecture inside, but there's not a lot. Like, the whole thing is done by projector.
Yeah, it's like they say it's like something like a 2.5D projector, I think it was what the Imagineers called it. And
Yeah,
it's really impressive technology.
so it's really, I mean, to build anyway, it's really cheap. So, and I think that you know, again, this is me talking on things I don't really understand, but I think to update it and keep it kind of new, and they can do random things. Like, I don't, because Runaway Railway is not a copy in California. It's, you know, the track is
Completely
not the
different.
same. Yeah.
No,
So,
even the show building, it's completely different shape.
yeah.
They had to completely change it. They don't have space in California, so they had to change that.
So it's one of those ones that make a lot of sense, I guess. It's just something that, you know, everybody that I've spoke to really, really likes that ride. So I'm
Yeah,
very much like, if it...
but I do think that ride would be better placed in studios,
Well,
because
yeah,
if
I
you
mean, I would just like it.
like, no, same here. It's a great ride, but in studios you've got all the still the Hollywood theming,
Yeah.
and in California that's basically the queue. The queue, it's that. It's the evolution of Mickey through the years in cinema, so it's
Yeah.
perfect for studios. Even the entrance, it's based on the El Capitan Theater. It's called El
Yeah.
Capitoon.
Yeah.
It's like a it would be perfect for the new theater district that they're building in studios.
It
It's
would be
just,
makes so
yeah.
much sense. So obviously won't happen.
Exactly.
So that can't possibly happen. The other thing, it was one of your videos I was looking at, because I didn't know this. Do you know? I mean, I've been a fan of Disneyland Paris, and I've run a fan site since 2012.
Oh.
Not that you would know it, because I'd never update the damn thing anymore. I didn't know that Soaring was originally proposed for
Oh, yeah.
the Walt Disney
For that
Studios.
corner of studios, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, how did we not get that? That would have been amazing.
That's a pretty cool story, actually. I'm not completely sure, so I'll just say that. I won't say the name, but someone big in the company, they did not think that we could have Soarin'. They had like two projects they had to choose. They had the theater district, like the big and original theater district, which would have new facades in both theaters, Animagique and Cinemagique, if I'm correct. They would also change the entire like entrance of studios after the Studio One, of course. So what they're changing now, basically. And then you would have a new theater with The Lion King in studios and a new Soarin' Around the World attraction. The other project was Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And they chose Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. So, yeah,
I kind
that's
of
pretty
get that
much
though. People like, you know, people like that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was an exclusive attraction, which is something that studios needed. It's not anymore. So that's a
Yeah.
bit of a bummer. But still, if looking back now, I think they should have went to with the theater district, because it would just revitalize the entire park. You can't build an expansion to a park that's basically dying. So that's why I think then everything, the new works that Ellie released and etc., they all look great because they're revitalizing the park, the entrance and everything around it. You can't just get a big street with a lake and Frozen Star Wars and just forget about the entire rest of the park. It's like,
Yeah, you need to do something to bring it all up to the same sort of Disney spec.
exactly.
You've got though.
So I've got a comment here. How would Soarin' fit in a theater district, though? I can share the concept art. Yeah, it doesn't really fit within the theme, but It would look great. I'll just say that. Just need to find the concept art, and I'll share it here in the chat.
I think it's the soaring ride system that I think, you know, the soaring ride system is certainly very unique. And I think that, you know, I know people say it's the same as the Pandora ride system, and it is, but
well,
I think
version 2.0, but yeah, it is pretty similar.
I think, I don't know if version 2.0 is necessarily better though. Like, I don't like 3D, so I'm always kind of like, the 3D is always a bit like, oh, it doesn't really work so well. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it always seems a bit blurry. It always seems a bit, you know, don't look left or right, or otherwise you'll ruin it.
I absolutely loved Flight of Passage. I it's possibly one of my favorite Disney attractions, actually.
Oh, really?
Really? I really enjoyed that. The feeling you get with, well, the 3D itself sometimes fails, but the feeling of like, you've got this animal breathing, you feel it in your legs, and just goes up and down, and it's with the wind and the smells, just...
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You are right about that. It is... The feeling of the animal, I forget what it's supposed to be, but whatever the
flying
thing is in Avatar. It's very good. It is a good feeling.
I remember the name of the animal as well.
Yeah, the flying thing. we're so bad at this. Like, we're hosting an actual podcast on Disney, and we're like, yeah, the animal thing that flies. But that, you know, the dragon thing, that's kind of cool. But I don't know, a banshee, there we go, Claro, thank you for coming in there while we're throwing it out there. It is a banshee. The whole ride and everything's based on this banshee, and we're not getting the name right, that's terrible. What we need to look at though is, on soaring, you literally turn up, buckle up, and sit still. Like, the whole ride just happens. Like, with a banshee, you lean forward, you wear glasses, there's a whole loading procedure, there's a whole bag issue. Soaring's just kind of like, there you go, strap in, get in, we're going. You're going on a ride. You're going over California, you're going over the world, or whatever.
Yeah, and I absolutely love Soaring as well. I really like flight simulators, I see. But again, there are quite several flying simulators in Europe by now. You've got one in PortAventura. You've got one in, I think, Europa Park. Fantasia Land, maybe. I'm not sure. But it wouldn't be like a new system as it was for the other markets.
Yeah. And then do you just want a copy, or do you want something new, I suppose?
Exactly. And I mean, the Banshee Flight of Passage, that, I think, would it be better because it's different from what's already being offered out there?
Yeah, I think there's a thing there. I was looking at the size there of the... I was having a look at the size of the building. But other than being quite tall, it is quite a narrow building. So...
Yeah, you've got, I think, Flight of Passage and the other ride, the water ride. They're in the same building, I think.
Yeah, they share the same
show building. What's enough of the other ride? Gosh.
The little water ride.
Yeah.
And the greenhouses, that's Living with the Land.
No. In Pandora. Navi River Journey.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
I was talking about Soaring, and you're away talking about
Sorry. Oh, you were talking about Soaring. The show.
Yeah, in Epcot, you get the Living with the Land, but you're right. In Pandora, you also get the Navi River Journey. They're both very tall buildings.
Yeah. I do think in Epcot, you've got three theaters with Soaring.
Because they built a third.
In California, you've only got two. The same for Tokyo, I believe. So, Epcot does have more capacity, And after looking at the sizes and when I was researching for that video, it would not fit three theaters in Walt Disney Studios. Maybe
No.
two, quite possibly two, but still it would be quite like the work to get it fit there, because there's not a lot of space over there. But still,
Yeah.
this project I think would be amazing. And if you look at the facades of Cinemagique and to the right, I just, yeah, I wish
Epcot's a
we
huge
were
park,
there.
isn't it? I'm zooming in, but you forget how big Epcot actually is.
Yeah,
Like, as a
Epcot is
park,
huge.
it's just. I mean, when you compare it, like, the Magic Kingdom, even in Orlando, is just nothing on Epcot. Like, it just is nothing.
Oh yeah,
Epcot is just.
it's a big park, but our Disneyland is bigger than Magic Kingdom, for example.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, actually, our Disneyland was the biggest castle park, and up until that point. Now I think Shanghai is bigger, but still,
Yeah.
it's quite a huge park. And what is funny is that it doesn't have as many attractions as the Magic Kingdom or
No.
Disneyland. And
No.
Disneyland's,
But
I think Disneyland's tiny compared to ours.
yeah, but Disneyland is tight. I mean, once you're in Disneyland, you can see it's tight. I mean, I'll just offend everybody who's a Disneyland fan. That doesn't really bother me. I mean, it is a tiny park. The castle's hilariously small. And it's small in a
Yeah.
way that I don't know. Like, if it were up to me, I'd be like, it needs a Hong Kong style recreation. I mean, people will physically shudder at the thought of that.
Oh yeah, would never work in California. Come on. The
No,
original
that.
castle. Gosh. Could you
Yeah,
imagine
like.
that? People would go nuts.
Yeah, people will lose it. Like, people would lose it before that was allowed to happen. I fully appreciate that. But to me, the castle, I mean, when you're watching it for the fireworks and everything, the projections on it, unless you're in the first couple of rows, you're definitely not seeing it. They like the original foliage in place because,
Yeah.
Walt planted that tree, so that tree can't be moved. The only problem is Walt did not have the foresight of knowing that we were going to project on castles. So, of course, every third space you stand in Disneyland in California, you can't actually see the castle anyway because there's too many trees in the way. So, I mean, it's just something that when you're there, you're a bit like, oh, I think if you had seen California first, you fall in love with it, and then you see the other parks, and they seem a bit, I don't
This,
know.
oh wow, okay, this is what they're getting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh.
once you've seen kind of the California and the Paris castles, you go into Walt Disney World, and I don't think Cinderella's castle is terribly, terribly
Yeah,
impressive.
it's I think it's different. And that's
Yeah.
a fun thing. Because as many people say and have said, in Paris you're in the land of castles. You've got chateaus
Yeah.
everywhere. In
Yeah.
Orlando, I'm pretty sure you won't find a castle. So
Indeed.
they
I
just
mean,
built in Europe.
I live in Scotland, and I mean, where I live just outside Edinburgh, the capital city.
Yeah.
So within, I mean, if I go on Google Maps just now and type in on Apple Maps, so I should say, and I do castles near me, like castles near me, we've got 29 search results.
Wow.
So surrounding me in about a 50-mile radius, there are 29 castles I could go and see. Like, these are not fictional castles; these are real castles.
Real
I mean,
castles, yeah.
we were always a bit daft for building these castles. Now, if I type in castles near Orlando, usefully, it actually has like the Disney castles and stuff. There's four. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure one of them's a white castle, as in a restaurant rather than an actual castle. But there are 29 physical castles near me. So, yeah, you're right in the sense that a bog standard castle probably wasn't going to do it. We needed something a bit more interesting.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's why they built a fairy tale castle. Makes sense.
So we've covered
We went around the
the
world,
expand.
actually.
Yeah, we've gone around the world. We've covered the WDS. We've covered potentials coming to Disneyland Paris. We have spoken about Lightning Lane, Premier Access, and things like that. And I think maybe just one more topic to finish us off, because I think we're over the hour now. Like, I think we've been recording for an hour and 10 minutes, something like that. Let's talk about the Disney Village, because obviously Chesney has brought it up in the chat, so I feel we owe it to him or her. I'm not entirely sure. To discuss that, there's obviously been some artwork. I don't think the artwork is a complete picture of what we're going to get. I think it's very much conceptual. I think that Disney have some sort of plan, but it's contingent on external kind of parties pitching in as well. Like, they're waiting, much like Disney Springs, they're wanting some external sort of restaurants and stuff to come in. The Planet Hollywood's gone, which seems a bit odd. Like, I would have thought that Planet Hollywood would have stuck around. You know, there's not many Planet Hollywoods left, actually.
They're not. And what is odd is, like, they closed it in January. In the beginning of January, they took out the signs, they painted over the walls, and basically it's just abandoned, it seemed, at least. There's nothing going on there for at least some months. It's just strange, because it was such a big, like, capacity restaurant, and it didn't have the better, you know, the best food in Village.
It was dreadful.
You know, I actually enjoyed it when I went there a couple of years ago. You know, the nachos were pretty good. I'll give them that.
I'm pretty sure you only, I think you probably only ate the nachos then, because everything else was dreadful.
Well, okay, well.
I think, it had the cheapest cocktails on site, and it had happy hour as well. So it had a happy hour, and it had the cheapest cocktails. I mean, the cocktails were dreadful as well, but it had them. I don't know. I'm sad to see it go, because I think it was quite iconic as part of, you know, the Disney Village. And it's not gone, because they've just repainted the walls, they've put the lights back in, they've made it match. It almost looks like it's shut for refurbishment. I don't know if that's deliberate. I don't know if Disney know it's going to be long term, so they're kind of doing an external refurb just to not let it look bad.
Yeah, I think that's quite probably the why it's like that.
It doesn't look as though it's decaying.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I saw a couple of comments saying that they could maybe use that for like some exhibition spaces. I think with the Disney 100 celebration going over in the entire world, they could pretty much just add, you know, they've got exhibitions in, I think, Germany, and they're going to Spain and England and everywhere, basically. So why not add an exhibition in, you know, Disney in Europe? I think that would make sense. I don't know. What do you think about it? Do you think they could use that space or other?
Do you know what I worry about? What I worry about is Disneyland Paris has been on a sort of rampage of shutting things down in the Disney Village. So, first of all, years and years and years ago, not any time recently, we lost Hurricanes, the nightclub. So they got rid of Hurricanes, which was a nightclub. And do you know what? Maybe it wasn't what they wanted in a family resort. That's fine. They didn't want drunk people coming out of a nightclub. That's fine.
But you've got Epcot. You also have Epcot in Orlando. Yeah. That's basically a place where people just drink around the world during all day.
Exactly. So they got rid of Hurricanes. They were absolutely adamant, we're getting rid of this nonsense that is Hurricanes. They got rid of it. Then in fairness to them, Five Guys and Vapiano then opened on the outside of the village. So they opened on Avenue Paul Ceremy, which is nice. But again, I can't help but think there was a whole missed opportunity there that perhaps we could have, you know, I don't know, I don't know the land rights or anything, but perhaps they could have been in the Disney Village. Like it, they feel like I personally think that Five Guys and Vapiano get forgotten about because they're physically outside the Disney Village, but probably are paying Disney level rents.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Because it's built on Disneyland, so it makes.
I do think that they will use like the first phase of the project, I believe, will be to just revitalize the whole village, you know, the one that's actually already built. But then they will expand and they will possibly create a new entrance just on the side of Vapiano and Five Guys.
It feels, I don't know, it just feels that Vapiano and Five Guys are, you know, people are like, oh no, I'm not going there because I have to go out with the security bubble, or I have to, you know, or I have to come back in it. So you've got that. Plus, there must have been a way they could build a little tunnel or something through, because I can see it just now online that they absolutely could have built a little way in. But alas, they've not. The next thing they got rid of is Buffalo Bill's Wild West show.
Quite sad.
Yeah, I really liked that show. Like, I really liked it. I totally get that doing it nightly was unsustainable for them because there was nights I went and there was maybe only one section full. I fully appreciate it couldn't. It probably wasn't sustaining itself. But they got rid of that. Nothing replaced it. In fact, I think they tore down a lot of the infrastructure off the show. They got rid of the. You know, they got rid of the sort of buffalo and horse stables and stuff and carted them off. They also, I think the arena is gone as well. I don't know because, of course,
Sure,
Google
not
and
sure.
Apple Maps aren't up to date, but I think the arena is now gone. The so that whole venue just gone. And now you've got they've taken Planet Hollywood, gone.
Another thing, you've got the cinemas. Like I've been to Disneyland Paris many times, and I don't think I've ever seen a lot of people inside the cinemas. Like, do you think they make money? Because it doesn't
Well, that's
like it.
it doesn't. Well, it doesn't. I asked this ages ago. I actually asked this at Disneyland Paris fan event. Like, what? Given that, you know, Disneyland Paris is the center of, you know, Disney in Europe, why are they not? Why are there not movies? Like, why can I not go and see a movie inside the Gaumont Theatre in English, or at least, you
Exactly.
know, French with English subtitles? And they were because of like legal rights on distribution of movie and stuff, you're not going to get an English film in a French cinema. And likely you're not going to get a French film in an English cinema, in fairness to, you know, the vice versa of it. But it does feel like the people that are there on holiday, like I suppose if you're French, you have the opportunity to go and see it in a cinema that's probably cheaper and back home. But I think they're missing out on, you know, the English, the Dutch, the Germans, the, you know, the Spanish, people who are visiting there, surely they're missing out on money on people who are on vacation anyway, who would love to go and watch a movie, like as a family.
People that are in Disneyland, I don't see them wasting time going to watch a movie they can watch literally anywhere else.
I don't know, I would do it. I done it,
Yeah.
But I done it because you got in Orlando, you get dinner cinema. So they bring you can order your dinner to your table and you can watch a movie with your dinner and cocktails.
That's something different.
Yeah.
So,
And then they had Dolby Cinema as well, which is obviously the Dolby sort of laser projector and the Dolby sound system and all that sort of nonsense.
yeah,
So
I do, but I do think that the Disney Village cinemas, their days are counted. You know, it's
numbered,
not gonna last long. Yeah, numbered,
yeah,
sorry.
they're going.
Yeah, they're going. And AMC theaters in California, their shopping area, they've been demolished like a couple of years ago, I think. And they're just, they were huge. They were big theaters and good theaters. Gone, just gone. And I do think the same is happening with the Gaumont theaters in Village. They just take way too much space. It could be used by restaurants, by stores, anything else.
You're right. But that kind of adds, I mean, if you add it up, so if you take out the cinema, take out Buffalo Bills Wild West, take out Planet Hollywood, take out Hurricanes Nightclub, take out the downstairs space where they put the tiny shops in front of, and then you've got this massive amount of real estate in the Disney Village that does nothing.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like people don't pass by the stores and see what's in there, because you've got 7 or 6 hotels, or 5 hotels, yeah, on the other side that you basically have to pass to get there. So everyone that's staying in a Disney hotel just basically passes and goes and comes and goes every day for the entire stay. It's like, it's prime real estate for many shops and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you've got
something about a Hard Rock Cafe.
You've got the event arena. You've got 2 event arenas. So you've got the little circus tent style one, the white one, that seems to get used.
Cirque du Soleil. Like,
it was original. It was, but it's not anymore. Yeah. But that gets used. Disney use that quite often for events. Like most of the events that I've ever had, that I've ever gone to for Inside Ears and stuff, that was the tent we used, the little white one.
The Newport Bay Club Convention Center, or the New York Convention Center.
The Newport Bay one, as I understand it, is quite frequently booked out. As I understand, that one is regularly used.
Really?
Yeah, that one's the one that seems... I don't know why. It might just be cheaper. It might be more flexible. It might be... If you ever notice, when people come for conventions and stay on site, 9 times out of 10, they stay in the Newport Bay. So...
It's like it's such a big hotel, possibly.
Yeah.
It's a good hotel, a huge hotel, many restaurants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see why, honestly.
So they use that one. I've seen some conventions in the New York one. There's the Marvel Hotel now. There's certainly conventions there. I have, other than 2 events, I have never witnessed regular use of the mega tent, like the mega arena that they have.
Oh, so, yeah, the big one. Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand.
I did see it being used once for Run Disney. I ran in like one of the smaller 5K races.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was quite tiring in 2018. But it was there. You had to pick up that thing to put in your belly.
The medal.
You know what?
Oh, the race, the like tracker thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The number and everything. I think it was there that we went to pick up, but that was the only time I saw it being used.
Well, you've got that massive space. They've just refurbished it. Like they've literally just a year ago or something finished refurbishing it. So that's going. I mean, everybody's really excited about a hotel there, but they've just spent an awful lot of money refurbishing that, to the point that I don't think new HVAC, new air conditioning, new like expensive stuff. And it is a tent, but it's a very well utility tent.
Just think about the you've got to think like if you were Disney. I have this tent here where I make money because I rent, or I could have a giant hotel that is completely filled with guests every day, and I can make a whole lot more money. So,
and it would be even closer. It would be the second closest hotel to the parks.
Exactly. It's even closer than New York, I think.
Yeah, it is.
It's just such a huge space that they could definitely use. And I think that when they do build a new hotel, they'll quite possibly, I think there are 2 possible options. Either an expensive hotel there, or maybe Art of Animation.
A hotel on top of the convention center.
Well, you could do that. I mean,
yeah, they could. I don't think they will.
If you put Imagineers doing that, I'm pretty sure they would find a way to do it.
The other
But
thing you've got
yeah.
is, sorry, I was interrupting.
No, I think that's it. Oh no,
There's
yeah.
a car park.
The other hotel I think they could do it is like a cheaper art of animation type hotel, like behind Santa Fe. I think they could also do that.
Like
That's where I
up where the
think.
parking gates are.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. I
And
think.
they've got the other space as well. So they own the ground, and this if you're coming down Avenue Paul Cerami and you go across the road towards the train track, there's a car park there and it's got two helicopter pads as well. And they have that ground that they've got a car park in just now. And I've never quite understood why they never thought that would be a great place for a hotel. Like that seems, it'd be as close as the Newport Bay anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember? I think it was like 5, 4 years ago, they released that master plan for
Yeah.
the Val d'Europe area.
Yeah.
That space, I think, was the new convention center, and you'd have a new hotel where the events arena is now.
Yeah.
So that whole area would be a huge convention center with many convention places. I don't know how you say that. So
And then
how
we've got
did that happen, to be honest?
then we've got the actual lake itself. So Lake Disney is there, but they use it for absolutely nothing. Like it gets used for nothing. The square root of nothing. There's not even a boat on it anymore. So
Definitely.
I'm bewildered at, they have this wonderful lake that they do nothing on. There's no little food huts or chalets around it. It's just a long walk. That's basically all it is. They've created a long walk.
Just sad.
I don't understand it at all. Now they've sold all the space if you travel down, if you go to the end berm of WDS2, they've sold all that space, so that'll be hotels and apartments. So we can largely see inside the circle that bit will be developed as well, which
Yeah,
leaves them
the
two
Valdezop, right?
massive. The Val d'Europe side. They've sold an awful lot of land there. So
Yeah, they
we're
have
left with one massive
land.
track. Which is probably what, one fifth of the space is still left, and that's on the right hand side. That's
Yeah.
the land set aside for Park 3.
Exactly. So yeah, they definitely have a lot of space they could possibly use.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait, honestly. I think they're definitely doing something.
They're up some. The other thing is, this is all quite expensive stuff. Like, Disneyland Paris does not run a particularly high profit margin in the sense it can keep going and going and going. It needs to recuperate some of the money. So,
Exactly. Well, it is making a lot of money.
the one thing I think I'll hate about a third park, though, is the other two, the entrances are going to be right next to each other, and this third mythical third park's going to be just off in the distance, like
Well,
just so far away. It's going to be so detached from everything else. They're going to need a monorail or a Skyliner or something. They're going to have to do something because.
I've actually got a video coming soon that I saw. I got my hands on some incredible plans from like early development when they were
Right.
planning like the future of Euro Disney. They had so they were, we all know they were planning already the second park, the
Yeah.
Disney MGM Studios Europe, which never happened. But in this plan, we see a third park, which would be Epcot style theme park, would be in that area, and the concept art for that park, funny enough, shows a monorail, which I think would be an amazing addition.
There is a radical idea. You could just take over the car park.
Yeah,
Like,
With the
it's a
new
lot of work. I know they're not going to do it, but I mean, it makes so much sense though to have all three entrances next to each other.
I don't know. But actually, I think they would like to spread out the resort a little bit more. I think the two parks are awesome, like they are right now. But for the third park, I think they would like to create a new area with new hotels, with possibly a new car park. Like, just create, like, with three parks, the resort would become the
ingested
the only resort. No, the only resort to have three parks. You have Disneyland with two. You've got Hong Kong with one, Tokyo with two, Shanghai with one, and then you've got Orlando, Disney World with four.
Yeah.
So this one would be like the biggest one they've got in terms of space that's being used. So
we could also do a water park.
Yeah, there was a water park planned as well.
We need one now, don't we?
You already have the Aqua Lagoon in the other, you know Aqua Lagoon in Village Natur.
Oh yeah, they have that nearby. Yeah, but that's not for like you can't just can you go in as a Disney guest? Can you go in for a day?
No, you have to. Yeah, you can go and pay a ticket, but you do have to pay a ticket.
Yeah, so it's not.
You've got a couple of slides there.
I don't know. I think they could definitely do. I definitely think they could, without
same thing here.
Any issues?
Water park. Yeah, for sure. They should actually not. They could. I think they should do a water park.
Yeah, they should. They have a golf. They have Golf Disney as well. So nearby, I'm looking at my map. So there's Golf Disney as well. So you've got
that. They sold that though, like last year.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think anybody was going into it because it was Disney themed, were they? But they could do a mini golf, like a proper, you know, nice little themed one as well.
Yeah, I do think that if the resort keeps bringing this amount of money that's being, you know, this last year they made a whole lot of money.
Yeah,
they did a lot of revenue. That's the correct name for it. So if it does keep doing this, I think we might see the resort, being expanded. Well, I didn't think that's on the horizon.
The good news about Disneyland Paris is we are definitely living through the kind of golden age of it now. Like, we're now into the where real money and real master plans are being drawn. The dollar and the euro are a good exchange rate now, and we're in a situation where Disney are looking to invest in stable territory.
Everything happening in Florida with the DeSantis, they don't have space in California, they don't own Tokyo, Hong Kong is not bringing any money. You know, I think Paris is the next big thing.
Yeah,
I think.
I think so as well. Plus, if they can tap into the European market going to Paris rather than Walt Disney World, it's definitely gonna bring more money to the resort. And I'm referencing some of your videos again, but if we look at Universal getting involved in Port Aventura, we're in a situation where they may have a competitor on their doorstep, and I think that'll force them to, you know, fight back. Like, they know how dangerous Universal can be when Universal start investing in things.
Yeah, for sure. I really do think if Port Aventura becomes Universal again, it will change the game in European theme parks. I think it can become really big.
Yeah.
With the investment.
Sorry. To answer Chesney's last question, do we think it should stay inside the circle? So this is the Disneyland Paris circle. I think everything will. I think Disneyland Paris have shown no interest in really being outside their circle. They own all that. They you know, they've been selling parts of it off for investment in Val d'Europe. I don't think that they'll venture outside that circle very quickly. Like, there's so much land still in that circle to develop that
I agree. I think they'll stay in the circle for, I mean, at least for until the next park comes, which will be at least some years from now. So yeah, I do think they'll stay in the circle. But there's always a possibility of expanding beyond the circle because they've still got a lot of land beyond the circle, you know, closer to the campground, the Davy Crockett's Ranch. So it's a possibility, yeah.
The one other thing that I think we should touch on, and it was in one of the master plans before, and it was kind of replaced by the TGV. There was a discussion of train transport from Charles de Gaulle Airport, and certainly the TGV does it, and I think it's like 9 minutes, 11 minutes, or something just now. But there was a obviously Disney and Brightline in Orlando have been talking about whether Orlando International should have a train stop. Yeah, and you
JPEG
know,
made it.
you've. Do you know what though? See, when you look at the train from Charles de Gaulle Airport to Disneyland Paris, there's absolutely some scope there for Disney to have a little private railway. There really is, like a little shuttle service on
For
that. There
sure.
really is, because it's not far at all, and the track is already, most of the track's already
It
there.
is, yeah. I think
Because I
they
think if
should definitely do it. That would be awesome because Charles de Gaulle, you know, Charles de Gaulle is the biggest Paris airport, and they mostly they get international flights, if I'm correct.
No, they do. And I mean, it would get rid of all the buses. It would certainly decarbonize a lot of the resort. It really, in length, the track is not long from the airport at all. It really is not, like people would be shocked at how little train track there is between Charles de Gaulle Airport and Disneyland Paris.
I'd love that, to be honest. I
Yeah,
love that.
so would I mean, it would only have to be one line, because the train would run down it and then run back up it and then run back down it and run back up it. It could be themed, it could be, but they should look at something like that so that people can, people that are flying in don't need to get as much, the shuttles or the bus service or renting cars to get to Disneyland Paris. There's
Metro shuttle isn't great.
no.
The
And
upside
the
there.
TGV is horrible as well. I mean, the TGV is lovely once you're on it, but trying to get a ticket for the right service and it being on time, and it's forever having issues. It's also very expensive. Like, I don't know what prices you've paid, but I've paid anywhere between €25 and like €75 for a seat on the TGV. Or
75
that's.
euros for where? Go wait. From where to where?
From Charles de Gaulle to Chessy.
75 euros. Wow. I think most I've paid was like if you get the ticket in the machines they've got there, the two times I did it was 15 euros.
Well, I've decided that I was only ever going to pay it when if a ticket person asked me on the train for my ticket, so I've actually not paid the last three times I've been on it.
Oh well, that's
I've decided they'll just pay if they come round, which they apparently never do. So, I don't encourage anybody to do that, because there's plenty of people on the Discord that have said they have been caught and they've
Oh.
been charged €50. So, this is not me telling you to do it. I'm just saying that I've been very lucky in the sense that they've never charged me for it. I think that about wraps it up for us on our first podcast.
Yeah.
Which has been great fun. And thank you to everybody for participating in the chat. And maybe next time some of you will want to come on voice with us. But I am going to shut the I'm going to shut it down just now once I can figure out how to what my actual command is to do it. We are probably going to do these semi-regularly. So if you're interested in a podcast, certainly give us some topics, and I don't know when we'll do it, just whenever we're free. We haven't quite worked out how we're going to distribute the podcast, so I'm going to throw it up on DLRPR anyway. I'll change everything I've done before now to season one, and I'll make this season two of the podcast. So that at least lets us get it out. I don't know if Bernardo's going to chuck it up somewhere. I don't know if he's going to have it. I don't know what you're going to do with it. You're the YouTube sort of.
I mean, if you release it anywhere, I can just pin it to the in the Twitter. So
yeah, I'm definitely going to put it out. I think Bernardo might put it out. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us, and I've had a wonderful time. I hope you've had a wonderful time too.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
The bot is completely not stopping. This is really funny. I have no idea how to stop the recording.